Good to see everyone this morning, and thankful the Lord's blessed us to come together, those of us, of course, that are able and to meet together to worship Him today. And we're truly thankful for each of you that are here, and pray for those that were unable to come for whatever reason. And I do ask an interest in your prayers as we come before you to share the time with Brother Clayton. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to the book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 3. I'd like to talk about a couple of verses in chapter 3, which is actually one sentence by the Apostle Paul. As the Apostle Paul did in most of his writings, and the book of Ephesians is a good example of his writing style, in that he would write about a doctrinal point that was on his mind, or even some instruction to the church, and then it's like he'd just stop and he'd break out in praise. I'm sure that he was like, I think about it this way a lot of times in preaching, that sometimes, I've felt the presence of the Lord, and things come to my mind, and certain things come to my mind that I've been persuaded, and almost persuaded a lot of times, to just stop and just break out in praise, because what was said was so profound, and what the Lord blessed me to think and then to say was so profound. It's all of us have those kind of occasions when it's like one of the cartoon characters we used to read in the Sunday morning paper. Whoever was doing the strip, they would have the cartoon character say something, and then he'd say, "Enough said. Enough said." And this is one of those sentences in right in the middle of the book of Ephesians. Paul says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, Paul says, now. That's a word that's used to call attention to the present set of circumstances. It's like sometimes we say, parents say to a child, "I need you to do so and so." But I said, now. This is not something that can wait. This is something now. And a lot of times we all are guilty. I know I am. Been guilty more times than I'd like to admit to. Is that when the Lord places a thought on my heart, or places even a word of praise on my lips, that I have said, "Well, that'll be good for another time." The Lord just kind of says, "Nope, I said now. This is not for later. This is for now." And so Paul says, now unto him that is able. Now that word "able" is a word that I'm sure you've heard in the original language. Preachers talk about many times. It's a wonderful word. It's the word dunamis. Or here it's the form of the word dunamai. And of course, it means capable, strong, and powerful. Now unto him that is capable, strong, and powerful, to do. Simple words, two little words. They rhyme, to do. To do means to make a thing. To him that is strong, capable, and powerful, to make a thing, to provide a thing, to produce a thing, to be the author of a thing, or to cause to bring about. Paul says, now to that person, to him, because remember, him is a pronoun. And whoever him is, Paul says, now unto him that's capable, strong, and powerful to do, to make a thing, to provide a thing, to produce a thing, to be the author of a thing. And notice it's not, he's not just talking about, sometimes, you know, we're thankful, you know, if we need a loaf of bread, and there's a crisis going on, we go to store A, there's no bread on the shelf. We go to store B, there's no bread on the shelf. We go to store C, there's no bread on the shelf. We get to store D, and there's a loaf of bread on the shelf. And we're thankful that they have a thing. And many times we're thankful for what the Lord has for us. But aren't we even more thankful for what the Lord does for us and what he's able to do? You know, that's all important. You know, we were blessed to remove the tree behind the church yesterday. Several of the brethren came together for that purpose. And, you know, we could have done it this way. We could have done it that way. We could have done it another way. But we were thankful that we were able to do it the way we did because of equipment and people that were there. And we were able to do it because we had people there and machinery there that was able to do it. And so the Paul says, now unto him that is able to do. Not only is he able to do, but he's able to do exceeding. That means, you know, God always exceeds our expectations. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, we put limits on God. Well, I think I know what they're saying, but I haven't met anybody that's ever been able to put a limit on God. You know, if we're putting any limits, it's on ourselves. Because how would we expect to be able to limit him that's able to do? He has the power to do, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly. Abundantly means more than, but it doesn't just mean more than, it means superior to. You know, God not only can do more than we can do, but whatever he does, it's always better than we ask. It, you know, isn't that amazing? You know, Lord, if you just do it this way, and the Lord says, well, how about let's do it this way? You know, and the Lord's way was a whole lot better than my way. You know, I'm sure that when Moses stood at the Red Sea, and he told the children of Israel, you know, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, there's probably somebody that's saying there, said, well, now, I wonder how many boats the Lord's going to make appear all of a sudden. Or somebody said, well, you know, maybe he'll just transport us magically across this body of water. No, the Lord divided the sea. You know, the Lord said, you know, I could do all those things. But that's providing means for you to do something. You know, if I provide a boat, you got to get on the boat. You know, but if I just cause a east wind to blow and just divide that sea of water. And he said, I'm not only just going to divide the sea of water, I'm going to dry up the ground. Have you ever walked across a river bottom or a lake bottom and walked through silt? And have you ever, of course, seen like at the backwater, whenever they lower the lake level, how long it takes that water, that land that's been sitting underwater for years maybe, to dry out? God dried it out in just a short while, and they walked over dry shod. And so he's able to do exceeding abundantly, and that's just one example. We could go on with examples. Exceedingly abundantly above all. Now that word all doesn't always mean every. It's the word pos in the Greek, and it means all kinds of or all manner of. You know, God's able to, just like I just talked about, he's able to do all kinds of ways. You know, we have a very diverse creation. You know, God created this world that we live in, and there's parts of the creation that as we study it, we see its interconnectedness, and that if you don't think about it and look at it, you just wonder, well, you know, could that ever happen or could that ever be? It just shows the power of God that he's able to do abundantly above, not only abundantly above all that we ask. You know, the scripture says very plainly in one place, ye have not because ye ask not. And you know, I think sometimes we don't ask because maybe in the deep recesses of our minds and hearts, we maybe are doubting the Lord's ability to provide. Paul says, never doubt it. He breaks out into praise. And his praise here, the heart of what he's praising God for is that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able. You know, we have a hymn in our book that's simply entitled, God is Able. I don't think we sing it very much. I'm not even sure that I know the tune, but in the course of it, as I remember, it says, God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he's able to do it whether we ask or think. But he's certainly able to do it when we ask or think, able to do all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God gives us an evidence that he's able to do this, not only in creation, but he gives us the evidence, the greatest evidence that you and I have of the power of God is in ourselves. It's in ourselves. Especially if we're honest with ourselves. If we go to the mirror and look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what do you see? Well, we see a human being. We see an individual. We see a creature that in no way possible would exist if it were not for God's creating power. We wouldn't be here. You know, Adam didn't decide to come into existence on his own. You know, the scripture talks about in one of the incidences of in Jesus' life about a certain individual from a certain place that was considered an unclean place. And the question was asked, you know, can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Well, what about bringing something out of nothing? I can't do that. You know, and I don't think that you can do that. And I don't believe any other man has ever been able to do that. To bring, you know, sometimes you've heard people use the expression, you know, well, they just made something out of nothing. They can't do that. And technically, God doesn't do that. Technically, God doesn't do that. Because all creation is an expression of who God is. You know, this world that you and I live in is an expression of who God is. Where there was nothing, perhaps, he created something. Well, anyhow, but the point is that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now, that power is there because he's worked it in us. We have that power, and that power's in us, and Paul's thanking him for that power. And that power that we have in us, that's another sermon for another time, because, you know, I'm taking an overall view of these two verses of Scripture and not trying to get in too much detail because of time. Unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Have you ever stopped and had one of those profound moments? And thought about that the power that spoke this world into existence is the power that blessed you to exist. The same God, the same power, the same ability, for the same purpose. All that he created, he creates for his glory. He created the stars for his glory. He created this earth for his glory. All that he populated this earth with, he created for his glory. Unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory. glory, by the way, this is interesting to me. Every time I look up this word, glory. You know what glory means? You ever thought about what glory means? You know, let's give God the glory. Well, what does it mean? Does it? Yeah, I'll tell you what it means. I want you to think about it. To God be the glory. Glory means opinion. Opinion. What is your opinion of God? What do you think of God? When it says, to God be the glory. You say, well, but you're giving praise to God. Well, how do you give praise to God? Not as an automaton. God doesn't want us to praise him just because we're repeating words. He wants us to give our opinion of God. What do you think of God? It also means view. What is your view of God? It also means judgment. What is your judgment of God? What do you think of God? We say, well, I love the Lord. Well, then that's the kind of praise you'll give him. I believe the Lord blesses me to have fellowship with him. Well, that's the kind of praise you'll give him. See, praise is giving glory to God means that we don't just, it's not just meaningless words, which a lot of times it is. It's not just repeating something you've heard somebody else say. You know, whenever God's people are blessed to give him glory, and whenever we get to heaven and we're giving him glory, we're not just going to be saying glory to God because the angels say glory to God. We're not just going to be singing glory to God because the cherubims are singing glory to God. We're not going to just say giving glory to God because all the rest of the multitude of the saints of God are doing so, but it's going to be our opinion. Our judgment. It means that we've come to the conclusion that he's worthy of praise. Absolutely. He's worthy of being glorified. Yeah. He's brought us to that place. It's not just something that is there because it's there. It's because our conclusion of our thoughts, of our experiences, of our being blessed of God, that we give him glory. It's a spiritually educated attempt to praise him. And not just an automaton, not just a robot. You know, not just, you know, God blesses us to praise him. He doesn't just program us to praise him. Unto him be glory. That's the reason Paul, as all these wonderful thoughts that he's been writing about, just floods his soul. He says, God, to you be the glory. You know what? You bless me to see things that just, you know, I just can't sit still, and I just got to say something. To him be the glory. In the church. Now, this is a particular place. But God deserves the glory wherever.
Amen.
Always, at any time. But Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And if there's anywhere where we ought to sing glory, sing the praises of God, and I'm not just talking about singing hymns, but we talk about his attributes. We talk about his praise. We talk about who he is, God. You know, that's the reason that I've always, you know, once I felt convicted of it, I've tried to remind people from the pulpit and just in general conversation, you know, things like, well, you know, we're purposing and planning to do this. You know, we're going to do this. And I'll say, oh, the Lord willing, the Lord willing. You know, remember who you are and where you are and what he is. The Lord willing, if God be willing. And that's not just recognizing our circumstance that we might not be able to do it as much as we plan to do it. It's we're giving him, we're glorifying him. We know that the ability or the power or the circumstances coming together of the time and the place and et cetera, it's because he blesses it. And so we say, the Lord willing. The Lord willing is not just a, you know, it means more than we think it to mean a lot of time, okay? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Throughout all ages. And you might say, well, you know, that's out yonder. No, again, definitions are important. What does it mean by all ages? Well, ages marks time, so it can't be out yonder, because when we get to heaven, time's over with. There won't be any ages in heaven of any kind. There won't be 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. That's kind of hard to explain. You say, well, you know, my 5-year-old, you know, passed away, and you telling me there won't be a 5-year-old? No, there's not going to be any 5-year-olds in heaven. Not going to be any 105-year-olds in heaven. Or 995-year-olds. Okay? It means generation. Throughout all generation. Let every generation praise the Lord. Let every generation. It refers to a multitude of people all at the same time. That unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. You're the light. You're the city set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid without end. That means an unbroken age without end. You know, men come and go. Preachers come and go. Churches come and go. But God is always there. And his glory is always there. May the Lord add his blessings. Much more could be said.
Amen. Certainly appreciate the message that we've heard thus far. Ask a contingent interest in your prayers.